Back when I was teaching at Life Christian University, the students would, everybody had different goals. You know, what they wanted to be. Some really weren't even sure. They were hoping to find out. But one thing I noticed was that out of all the students who were there, who talked about, well, this is what I want to be, it seemed like the number one response was, I want to be a Christian counselor. And I found that interesting. And there weren't that many students that came to me or I overheard talking about, well, here's what I want to be. But the few that I did hear, there were more that wanted to be a Christian counselor. In fact, with our school, Grace Ministries Bible College, every now and then we've had people ask, well, can I get a degree in Christian counseling? And no, you can't. And I don't like to discourage people, but there's no such ministry as Christian counselor. It's not in the Bible anywhere. It does not exist. Some people seem to think that any type of career is a ministry calling. Well, that's not true. The ministry callings are defined by Scripture. And there is no such ministry calling as, Christian counselor. And I am not personally sold on that as a profession, if you will, because a college degree, no matter if it's associate, bachelor, master, doctorate, a college degree does not qualify you to be a Christian counselor. Absolutely not. However, the concept of counseling is biblical. Now, we're going to take a look at this tonight. Turn first over to Proverbs chapter 11. One thing to keep in mind when you read like the book of Psalms and Proverbs, the majority of it is not at all, how can I say this? It's not a part of the law of Moses. So much of it is they're just a tremendous amount of information that applies to the body of Christ today. Well, it did to the people back then as well. But here in Proverbs chapter 11, look at verse 14. Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Now, where it says that the people fall, that has a variety of meanings. The ultimate meaning is that you die or get killed. But it can also mean that you're a total flop or a total failure. Or, you know, I'm trying to... Some of these words in the Hebrew and the Greek, they have these wild, all over the place definitions, and it gets really wordy. So I just gave you the really short and sweet version. The people fall. They don't have success. Now look over in Proverbs 15. Proverbs chapter 15. And look at verse 22. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Well, without counsel, purposes. Think of it like this. Your desires, your goals, what you're seeking for, so on and so forth, and they are disappointed. In other words, they don't work out. There's another place in Proverbs where it talks about there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof, destruction, calamity, and so forth. But without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Now look in Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 18. Every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice make war. Now that phrase make war, think of it in terms of spiritual warfare. With good advice, good counsel, if you will, make war. Now, the reason that's so important It's because you got people out there, Christians, they want to wage warfare against the enemy, but they honestly don't know what they're doing. It's just like Pastor Dave Roberson talked about these folks in Tulsa. They wanted to wage warfare against, you know, the rulers of darkness and the principalities and so forth in Tulsa. So what they did was they hired a hot air balloon to take them up so they could float around Tulsa and tear down the strongholds and the principalities. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work. Can you imagine Jesus telling people, I wish I could help you, but we don't have hot air balloons. So I can only deal with ground level devils. I can't deal with the ones that are up yonder. Now see, that's just kind of silly. Well, it doesn't work like that. But yet, every purpose is established by counsel. And with good advice, you make war. Spiritual warfare. In Proverbs chapter 24, turn over there. Proverbs 24, verse 6. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in multitude of counselors there is safety. By wise counsel you're going to make war, and in a multitude of counselors there is safety. And then if you turn back to Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12 in verse 5. The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit. And then in verse 20, deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil, but to the counselors of peace is joy. Now in verse 5, where it says the counsels of the wicked are deceit, let's kind of bring that, well, let's just say it a little bit differently. The counsels of the clueless are deceptive. In other words, there are some people, when they talk, they sound like they know what they're talking about. But in reality, they don't. Now remember, we're talking about this whole issue of the counselors, counsel and so forth. This is about living for God. This is not about out there in the world. This is for us to do what God wants. And that's what he's after here. He's not going to say all of this relative to, well, you just do your thing and figure out how to do it. Now, this is talking about our relationship with God. And so he's telling us here, where no counsel is, you're going to have problems. In fact, think about this. What we've read, okay, first off, the word counsel, without getting to the lengthy definition, basically it just means counsel, advice, and the way that it's used in Scripture, it's a specific reference to God's counsel and advice, or in other words, that kind of advice which I guess you could say it extols God or lines up with who God is or what he would want. And the word counselors, again, simplified, it just means those who advise, those who will you can consult with, those who will offer up good counsel. So without counsel, what we've seen in these verses now, without counsel, people fall, purposes are disappointed. Without counsel, now this is important to remember, without counsel. With the wrong counsel, there is deceit. Now, don't think of it in terms of intentional lying. Think of it in terms as well-meaning advice, which is not good advice at all, no matter how good it may sound. And then with counsel, there is safety. Purposes are established. You can have successful spiritual warfare, and there is joy. Now, what I find interesting in this is that when you read these verses, just read them as they are, not one of them says anything about call unto me, I am your God. Did you pick up on that? And yet he says, without counsel, this is going to happen, but with counsel, the other is going to happen. And in a multitude of counselors. Now, there's only one God. Yet he says, in a multitude of counselors. Now, he's talking about, obviously, we know that we need to go to God and get counsel from him. We know that. We understand it. But he's talking about, in our human relationships, that it's a good idea to listen to what other people have to say. Now, I find that interesting. But there's a catch to that, and we're going to pick up on it here in a little bit. This whole aspect of counsel, what he's talking about here, and counselors, this has nothing to do with people who've gone to school to be a counselor. It has nothing to do with people who want to be fix-its. You know what I'm saying? You ever been around those people who, I don't know, they just feel like that they can give you good advice on anything? You know, just tell me your problem and I'll give you the answer. Nah, that confidence tells me you don't know what you're doing. But yet God is telling us here about getting counsel and a multitude of counselors. So this must mean that God is not opposed to us sitting down with others and talking things over. Isn't that interesting? Now, he's not saying, don't ever seek me, because we know better than that. You go through here, I mean, even in Proverbs and all throughout the Bible, you know, seek me, you know, I'll help you out. Trust in me with all your heart and don't lean to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge me, and I'll direct your paths. Well, see, somebody might say, well, then I can do that. I don't need the counselors, but now hold on. He says, acknowledge me, trust in me with all your heart, everything about you, and don't lean to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge me, right? Well, if I'm going to acknowledge him, he's the one in here who's saying, get counsel, and then a multitude of counselors. See that? Now, let's face it. Some people, they're not very good at hearing God. I just can't hear God. I just don't know what he has to say. You know what? That's life in this here world. As far as I know, there's only one person who lived his entire life who never once went through that. Jesus. Everybody else, at some point or another, would have needed help figuring things out. And this includes us. We've all been there. I don't know what to do. One of the worst things you can do is just run to everybody and their brother. What do you think I should do? Well, you know, I've shared before, everybody has opinions. Opinions are like armpits and they usually stink. So, we can't yet, but we still can't get away from what God is saying here about, you know, with counsel, your plans are established, and a multitude of counselors, there's safety, and so on and so forth. We can't get away from that. Well, look over in Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. And look what it says in verse 1, beginning in verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. In other words, dark sayings would be like the mysteries that you don't yet understand. Now, what you have here, Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. This is the introduction to the entire book. And like I've shared before, these six verses are telling you what this entire book will do for you. Now look at this. He says, okay, here are the Proverbs, and here's what they're all about. To help you know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, in other words, those who don't yet fully understand, not fully educated or whatever, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. The wise will seek counsel. The wise will seek counsel. There are too many Christians out there who, what's a good way to put this? They're like a lone wolf. You know, I'll figure it out. Well, okay, but you do realize God is telling you right here, it's not wrong to talk to somebody about this. The key is who you talk to. And we're going to have guidelines for that here in just a few moments. So what we see then, Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 6, when it comes to receiving counsel, this is what we need to do. Now, it starts with the Word of God. And let me emphasize this. When you first are seeking counsel, you don't know what to do. God, I need help with this decision, whatever. First and foremost, you need to be going to the Holy Ghost and to the Word of God. First and foremost, okay? So we know that to be true. But we want to focus on what God is talking about as far as our relationship with other people and this whole thing of counsel and counselors. Now, he wouldn't put that in here if he didn't think we would need it from time to time. So, yeah, it is wise to seek counsel. Yes, number one, Holy Spirit and the Bible, but it's not wrong to counsel with somebody else. We want to make that really clear. So then, if I'm going to counsel with somebody else, if I'm going to follow this admonition from God, the first thing it's going to require is humility on my part. You ever been around Christians that are going through stuff, and, well, what's going on? I don't want to talk about it. I just don't want to talk about it. I got to work things out. And you see them a little bit later, you know, a couple of weeks. Have you worked things out? I'm still on it. Well, you know, if you want to talk about it, I appreciate that, but I don't want to talk about it. This is something that I have to do on my own. You ever heard that before? Yes, you have. You ever done that before? Probably. Well, see, that's not scriptural. Not at all scriptural. Because when you do that, you're saying that God's advice in Proverbs isn't necessary for you. That you can work it out on your own. Well, how long is that going to take? If you go at it with that kind of an attitude, there's a good chance you're going to end up doing the wrong thing. Well, I thought I was doing what was right, but it didn't work out. But you know, God works in strange and mysterious ways. Just because you come up with an idea doesn't mean it's the right idea. See, God, he puts these statements, these guidelines in Scripture for our benefit. And if we adhere to them, then yeah, things will work out. Because, look, you even have Christians out there, they don't believe in praying in the Holy Ghost. Well, if you're not going to pray in the Holy Ghost, then you're kind of shutting yourself off from some of the counsel that God would want to give you. Now, he knew it was going to be like this, knew it ahead of time. But even those of us who do know how to pray in the Spirit, what we've just read here in Proverbs, several passages, it's still smart and wise to follow what he said here about the counsel, to seek after it. Now, are there people in Scripture who have done this? People who were close to God. Well, let's take a look. Go first to Exodus chapter 18. Now, what's happened? Moses and the children of Israel have come out of Egypt, and they're really new, fresh to this whole thing of freedom. Well, Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, he comes to pay a visit. And he, you know, Moses, how are things going? Goes, ah, well, you know, things going great, and so on and so forth. So Jethro, he's, the scripture, in fact, refers to him as the priest of Midian. And so he has a relationship with God. Scripture doesn't go into a lot of detail about that. So Jethro's there, and he's observing what's going on. And we pick it up, Exodus 18, verse 13. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood by Moses from the morning unto the evening. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, what is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning unto even? And Moses said unto his father-in-law, because the people come unto me to inquire of God. When they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another, and I do make them know the statutes of God and his laws. And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, the thing that thou doest is not good. Here comes the counsel. Here it is. We've established the problem. Now here comes the counsel. Thou wilt surely wear away, both thou and this people that is with thee, for this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Now stop right there. Okay, you're talking to somebody who's had an encounter with God at a burning bush. You're talking to somebody that God has used to usher in 10 plagues and destroy the nation of Egypt. And you're telling him he's not able to do this? Are you getting the picture on this? Moses could have said, shut up, old man. You haven't been where I've been. You haven't seen what I've seen. God's hand is upon me. He has called me to be the deliverer of the Israelites. And you're telling me I'm not able? How dare you? Now, I'm kind of exaggerated, but you know what? That's exactly the kind of counsel that a lot of Christians need. They need to be told, you can't do this. You're not able. This is not right. But you know what? Most Christians, if you do that with them, oh, you better get ready for an argument. It's like, well, okay, then if you know what to do, and why'd you come to me in the first place? Why are you asking me for counsel? Well, he says, this thing's too heavy for you. You're not able to perform it thyself alone. Then he says, hearken now unto my voice, and I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Get that? If you listen to me and do what I'm telling you, God will be with you. You imagine today telling some Christians that? If you listen to me and you do what I'm telling you, God's hand is going to be in the midst. God will be with you. God will be. Well, you telling me God isn't with me now? You telling me that God has departed? I know you understand what I'm talking about, because there are a lot of Christians out there. It's like they want counsel, but there's too much arrogance and too much pride. Basically, what they want is for you to kind of agree with them to do something that they think they want to do, and they're not really sure if they should do it. They don't have peace about it. Well, that means that God must not be involved with it. Well, he says, hearken now unto my voice, I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. So he's telling him, teach the people what God wants. You teach the people. But verse 21, moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, and rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And let them judge the people at all seasons, and it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge. So shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee. See that? Now, was that wise counsel? Absolutely. You know what I see in this, though? I see this, verse 21, the foundation for our current judicial system. Because you have all these different layers of judges. And you go, your first stop is, you know, the lowest level of a judge. Well, you don't like the decision, you appeal. And you go up to the next level. The ultimate level, we know, Supreme Court of the United States. That's what I'm seeing in here, is the foundation for our judicial system. Well, here's what's interesting. Here's Moses, the man of God, handpicked by God. Lead my people out of bondage, so on and so forth. Throw down the rod, the serpents, and all the plagues, and so on and so forth. How come Moses didn't think of this? See what I'm getting at? Why didn't Moses think about this? I don't know. But it took his father-in-law to show up and say, man, you're going to wear yourself out. Listen to this. Listen to this. Okay? Now, the point I'm making here is that I don't care how smart we are. I don't care how spiritual we are. I don't care if we walked on water and raised the dead. There will be times when we won't think about it, and we need input from somebody else. It's like Scripture, there, the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans, we know in part, we prophesy in part, all right? None of us are a know-it-all. I know we have access to the know-it-all, but none of us are a know-it-all. Yet, you have wisdom that could be imparted to me, and I have wisdom that could be imparted to you, counsel. One of the biggest problems for some pastors, they don't want anybody making suggestions. They don't want anybody, I mean, if it's not their idea, it's not a good idea. Well, that's dumb. I mean, that's a setup for destruction right there and division within the church. So what we see, Moses of all people, and yet he needs this kind of counsel. But praise God, he listened. He received it, and he acted on it. And even though Scripture doesn't reveal this, I'll guarantee you there were nights when Moses was in his tent thanking God for my father-in-law Jethro. Thank you, God, for revealing this, because his life was so much easier, so much less complicated. And all these other people, it actually helped them too. Because all the folks, the men that he chose to help out, you know, it helped them from the perspective of, how can I say this? It made them feel wanted, useful, and important. It helped them as well. Now, and we're not going to get into, we're just going to leave that the way it is, okay? But now let's look at another place. Look over in Galatians. Galatians chapter 2. We're kind of picking up in the middle. Galatians is one of those books where you really need to start chapter 1, verse 1, and just read through, because it's just a continuing saga. Anyway, Galatians chapter 2, look what Paul writes, beginning in verse 1. Then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation, and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. Now, when he says to them which are were of reputation, he's talking about the apostles. He's talking about those who had, like the original 12. Well, Judas was gone, but he's talking about those who had walked with Jesus prior to the crucifixion. And if you pick it up in verse 6, he says, "But of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, maketh no matter to me. God accepteth no man's person. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me." So now here's what's going on. The Apostle Paul, he goes to Jerusalem, where there are apostles, those who had walked with Jesus. They didn't go to him. Paul went to Jerusalem. And when he gets to Jerusalem, it says here that he had Barnabas and Titus with him. But he sat down. In fact, if you look in verse 9, it says, "When James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision." So we know he met with James, Peter, and John. We don't know how many others were there. But when you go back and read the four Gospels, it kind of seems like James, Peter, and John were the high-ranking apostles, because they were the ones that Jesus seemed to, you know, call into himself more than the others. They were the ones that were on that Mount of Transfiguration. Well, what Paul is saying here is this. I went to Jerusalem. I sought out the apostles. I sat down with them, and I began sharing with them what I preach and teach. Then they shared with me what they have been preaching and teaching. And he says in verse 6 that they added nothing to me. That's not a statement of arrogance. What he's saying here is that we found out that we're all preaching the same thing. Even though I didn't walk with Jesus prior to the crucifixion, we found out we're all preaching and teaching the same thing. This is Paul. He's not asking for help, but he's getting counsel from those who were the, I guess you could say, the founders of what was going on. And they compared notes, and basically it confirmed to Paul, not that he needed confirmation, but it confirmed to him that, okay, we're all on the right track here. We're all doing the right thing. And not only that, but it confirmed to the others that the guy who persecuted the church was now preaching and teaching the same thing they were. So I guess in a way you could say it was mutual counseling for both. But it was really the Apostle Paul, not that he needed it, but in the future he could say, look, I personally met with Peter, James, John, and whoever else was there. We're all preaching and teaching the exact same thing. The point I'm making is this. Paul felt the need to go to Jerusalem and meet with them. Whether the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, go and sit down with these guys, regardless of the reason behind it, he felt that need to go, and he did. He went and he sat down, and they began talking about what they preach. Now, somebody like the Apostle Paul, caught up to the third heaven, you know, the bright light and so forth, you would think he wouldn't need to do this. But there was a need, or this would never have happened. So we look at it from this perspective, and we see that, okay, Moses, okay, he needed counsel. The Apostle Paul, he sought after counsel. And you know what? If Moses did that and received it, and Paul, I mean, who are we? Notice this, Moses did not go to God until after Jethro approached him. When you go back and you read that story, basically Jethro went on to kind of tell Moses, look, you know, talk to God about this. You know, get confirmation from him, but I'm telling you, if you do this, God's going to be with you. And the same thing, you know, from this point on in Galatians, Paul and the apostles, they all had the confidence of knowing they're all teaching the same thing. Now, Again, in Proverbs, the word counselors, plural, was used. This implies, in fact, four times counselors was used. This implies that it's not wrong to get counsel from more than one person. Now, there are some people that get kind of sneaky about this, and they act like they want counsel, but what they're trying to do is pit people against each other. That's happened with me before. And people like that, in the natural, you just want to smack them in the head. Tell them, you know, grow up, will you? But that brings up the question, from whom should we receive counsel? Because I'm telling you right now, there's some people you don't need to be talking to. They're not ready to give you counsel. So do we have guidelines in Scripture? Absolutely. Turn back over to Exodus chapter 18. Exodus chapter 18. Because what we're getting ready to read, remember, this was before the law was given. And this is advice that is still good today. So Jethro is talking to Moses. And he's telling him, okay, now here's what you need to do. And he says in verse 20, you know, you teach the people. You do that part, that you have that responsibility. But then in verse 21, moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people, here it is, able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness. See that? Now, here's what he's saying. In verse 20, he's identifying, the verse 21 people have to be included in the verse 20 people. And what that means is, the folks from whom we can seek counsel, they have to be humble enough to receive teaching. They have to be willing to cast down erroneous doctrines. They need to be like the Berean Christians, search the Scriptures, see if these things be so. They need to be teachable, absolutely teachable also. He says able, that word able, virtuous, stable in their life, faithful, meaning you don't need to be seeking counsel from somebody who just shows up every now and then at church. All right? Because they obviously don't see the value of faithful attendance. You need to get counsel from people who are faithful. And the whole aspect of being stable, you don't need counsel from Christians who are up and down emotionally, up and down, all over the place. They, you know, one week they come in, they're all teary-eyed, boo-hoo, and so on. And then the next week they're all happy, laughing. And so, okay, you don't need counsel from people like that because they don't have a clue. They're not going to be able to give you good wisdom, the godly kind of counsel. It's just not going to happen. And then the whole aspect here, he said, that fear God. That means they have to have a holy reverential respect, a holy fear of God. They don't take the things of God lightly. They don't take it flippantly. They see the value of coming together in church for prayer, for worship, whatever it would be. They know who they serve. They know who they are. And they're learning more about who they are in God and who Christ is in them. They have a fear of God. And then it says men of truth. Men of truth. It's not just the truth of the Word of God. It's people who are going to tell the truth. People who aren't going to lie. You know, I've got people lying to me here over the years. It's like, seriously? Why would you say that? I mean, come on, tell the truth. The whole truth. Nothing but the truth. So help you God. People are going to be straight up with you. You don't need somebody that's going to beat around the bush. You know, just like Jethro, listen to me. I'm telling you, you can't handle this. This is going to tear you apart. You can't do this. Okay, you need people that aren't going to condemn you, but they're going to speak straight with you. And they're going to do it in love. You know, I've had people come to me Well, you know, talk about something. Okay, let's talk. And they start talking, and then I tell them, well, blah, blah, et cetera, et cetera. Oh, no, no, not that. No, no. It's like, all right, well, whatever. You came to me because you felt like I would say something relevant, something that you could work with. And then now you're telling me it's no good. All right. Well, you're on your own. There's not much else I can do. I mean, I pray for you, but you're not receiving counsel. You need people who are going to speak truth. You need people who are going to keep their word and hating covetousness. In other words, they seek after the things which are above, not on the earth. You see what I'm saying? They're pressing into God. And covetousness isn't simply about money. It can be all kinds of things. You need people who are focused more on the Lord than they are anything else here on earth. And that means some of the counsel that you, some of the best counsel you could get could be from people who have very little in this life. But yet, they know their God. And they are not after the things of this world. So these are some of the people that we can go to and seek counsel from them. And really, let me kind of say this. If you're in a church and you have, you know, some people, they have, what's a good way to say this? Very pronounced personalities. You know what I'm talking about? You don't need counsel from them. Not at all. Some of the people that could give the best counsel are those who represent the still small voice. And they just enjoy being in God's presence. What other kind of people could we seek counsel from along with this? People who live Proverbs 1 verses 1 through 6. What we just read. Go ahead and turn over there again. Proverbs chapter 1. Now, this doesn't mean they have the book of Proverbs memorized. But the Proverbs of Solomon, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. Wouldn't you want to receive counsel from somebody who's walking in that? Absolutely. Because what they speak is not going to be soul-based, it's going to be word-based. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. Well, I want to be a man of understanding and attain unto wise counsels by going to the verses 1 through 4 person. See that? Those are the kind of people that we need. And you say, well, how do I identify somebody like that? All you have to do is hang around people and listen. Just listen to how they talk, and you'll pick up on it. You will definitely understand. And you can go to somebody for counsel, and maybe it's somebody you hardly ever talk to, but you've recognized, you know, they're walking in that Exodus 18 and the Proverbs chapter 1. They're walking this. They're living this. I see it. I hear it in them. And you know what? They're not going to turn you away. They'll listen to you. Oh, let me just give you a heads up here. When it comes to seeking counsel for someone, yeah, you need counsel for a decision. Don't ramble. Because what's going to happen is you're going to talk more than you will listen. And you're going to be listening to yourself talk more about the problem than you are going to listen to the person giving you the counsel. And if you're a rambler, then here, I'm not talking about the old car. If you're a rambler and the other person starts to give you wise counsel, you will interrupt and start going on again. And it won't take but a couple of interruptions, and the person that's going to give you the counsel is going to realize they just want to talk. They don't want counsel. They just want to talk, and they'll be polite. And at some point, they may say something like, well, you know, they'll find the right time to interrupt you and say, all right, well, you know, I'm going to pray for you right now. Pray, pray, pray. Boom, they're gone. Because they know you're not really ready to receive the counsel. So just state the issue and listen. Listen to what is said. You need people who are going to counsel with God's wisdom. You do not need people who are going to offer opinions more than wisdom. Well, you know, in my opinion, I don't need your opinion. I need the counsel that comes out of Proverbs chapter 1. That's what I need from you. You do not need people who are governed more by emotions than God's peace. You definitely don't want to get counsel from somebody who's all emotional, because there's no peace in them. It's not guarding their hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You don't need that. Because when there's a disruption of the peace, there is no stability of mind. You're not going to know what to say. That kind of a person, who knows what they're going to tell you? You don't need that. Even if it's your spouse, you don't need it. Oh, and speaking of the spouse, you know, husbands, if you have a godly wife, listen. Just sometimes they're going to give you good counsel and they don't even know they're doing it. And you sit back and think, how'd she know that? Yeah, well, you know, comes from above. Now, you do not need counsel from people who tend to refer to their past experiences more than God's direction. Well, I remember back when I was, and I remember my grandma, and I remember when we went, and I remember that. Okay, you know what? That's great. You and your whole family, hallelujah. But that's not doing me any good. Now, it's not, every now and then, past experience, you know, that can be of some benefit. But, you know, have you ever been through anything like this before? Well, sort of. Well, how'd it work out for you? Now, that can be dangerous because they hear what you did and they think, well, that's what I need to do. No. And you need to emphasize, well, I'll tell you what I did, but you can't go by what I did. You cannot do that. This has got to come to you from God. You do not need people who do not reference Scripture or refer you to prayer. You don't need counsel from those folks. The people are going to give you counsel. They're going to give it to you out of the abundance of their heart, where word and prayer have been sown. And God will speak through them, not necessarily as a yea, thus saith the Lord, but God will speak through them, and they really won't even know that God is speaking through them, but He is. He's speaking through them at the level of the Word and their fellowship with Him and giving you this counsel. Now, you must be teachable to receive the counsel. And too many Christians aren't. Even if the counsel is something you don't want to hear, even if it's something that you disagree with, you go to God. Look, you went to this person to get counsel, and whatever they tell you, even if you think it's the dumbest thing you've ever heard, go to God. And if it's not right, well, God will confirm that. But don't just don't ignore what God wants to do through other people. And you have to be willing, teachable and willing to receive this counsel and then pray about what you need to do. Pray about what you've been told. You cannot just simply operate on everything people tell you you ought to do. Now, let me tell you a habit of mine. Didn't always do this. When people ask me, you know, can I talk to you? I say, well, okay. immediately on the inside, I am praying. And I'm asking God to help me to hear what's being said. Because what's being said don't necessarily represent the message they're trying to get across. So God, help me understand. Help me, you know, listen between the lines, if you will. And along with that, help me hear you to know what I need to say. And, you know, there are times when that's happened where I share and people receive it. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes they say, okay, thank you very much. That's great. And then they don't do anything with it. It's like, well, all right. You know, go to somebody else then and don't be shocked if another godly person tells you the same thing that I did. You know, pretty soon you might want to catch on. God's trying to get something across to you. For me, when it's interesting, there are times when I'll toss something out and I'll listen to what people have to say. And I tend not to say too much at all. I want to listen. I want to hear what they have to say. I'm listening with the outside ears, listening with the inside ears, and asking God, help me understand this. You know, what kind of counsel what am I hearing here in all of this? And quite frankly, it's something you have to practice. In other words, sitting here tonight, you're thinking, well, I never did that kind of stuff before. Okay, then starting tomorrow, I will do this. Okay, you have to kind of train yourself to do this. But I'm telling you, God has said in His Word that it's okay to receive counsel. And then a multitude of counselors and so forth. That is not wrong. And if you're one of these folks that you don't like to open up to people, you might want to rethink that and learn to open up to the right people, because God will speak through them and pass along to you wisdom and counsel about decisions you need to make for your life. So don't feel like you have to bear the burden of the decision making yourself. Listen to what your brothers and sisters in Christ have to say. Just make sure that their walk with God is such that they are the kind of people you need to sit down and talk to. And learn how to receive from God the way Jesus did. Now, I'm not saying you'll get to the point where you never again need to hear what anybody else has to say. But as you grow and mature spiritually, you'll seek outside counsel less and less. But you're never going to get to the place of not needing to hear what other people say. And always learn to listen with your heart more than your ears. Praise God. So then, who are your counselors? And if you don't have any, if you don't know of anybody, pray. Because you know what? God knows who the right people are you can talk to.